Chicago Sports Conversation is now.
The direction of this team and this organization, you see it, you feel it. There's a want there to be great.
Murphy left point, fires a shot, he scores! In front of the net, I believe David Kemp tipped that one. It's his goal. It's his first in the National Hockey League.
The beat.
Balls up in the air, caught! Touchdown!
On 720 WGN.
Whoa, Nelly!
We will miss you, Keith Jackson. R.I.P. Good afternoon. Welcome to the beat, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. And a momentous week in Chicago. A huge night tonight. Great to be with you and with you, Harry Tynowitz. As we have 3 hours of sports and entertainment and a tribute for you all the way up till 7 o'clock. We do have to start with the major news of the week, Harry.
Yes.
And it is a controversy. I think it's great that the Chicago Bears identified their new head coach in a timely manner. I think that the fact that he's connected to Mitchell Trubisky and apparently loves him is great. But there's also another connection, Harry, and I know this bothers you as well, that we have to work through here. When they drafted Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, very important to the success of the organization. It's all about Trubisky. Can he get the job done? Can he use his arm, his knowledge, his natural athletic ability to get the Bears to the next level? Which one of those do you want to talk about with Trubisky?
What I actually want to talk about is what we talked about at the beginning last year, that Mitchell Trubisky needed to honor his mother and honor his first name, and that his name was Mitchell.
Oh, yeah, that.
And not Mitch. And he didn't do any of it. He wishy-washed his way about his name, Harry. Call me whatever you want to call me. And then he went on to have a wishy-wash season.
I would call you Sugar Lips.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay, hot stuff.
Okay.
Okay, pancake batter.
Pancake batter.
All right, blueberry muffin.
Mm, I love blueberry muffins.
You got it there, bread pudding.
So what are you doing with Nagy?
So it's the same thing, Harry, with Matt Nagy, N-A-G-Y, but it's pronounced Nagy, N-E-H-G-Y, Matt Nagy. And they're asking him, how do you pronounce your name? And he's saying that it doesn't really matter, call me whatever. No, man. You're the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Let Chicago know how to pronounce your name.
Are we opening up the phone lines?
If you want, sure. What's your question?
Well, Carm wants to know, is it Nagy or Nagy?
No, okay, I suppose, but it's Nagy. Matt Nagy.
I thought you might like be saying, hey, we should have gotten, you know, Shermer, or we should have taken McDaniels.
No.
And you're happy with the decision. No. You just don't know the pronunciation of his name.
No, I do know the pronunciation, but he's trying to play it nice. Like, I know that Mitchell Trubisky's mom.
Uh-huh. I don't know her at all. I've never met her.
But
I'm sure she's a lovely woman. She raised a hell of a son.
She wants her son to be named Mitchell. She wants him to be called Mitchell. And I know that Mitchell is just a solid, first-class, reliable name. You know he's going to be there for you.
You have a problem with Mitch?
Mitch is a fraternity guy.
Come
Mitch
on,
is,
really?
Mitch is the guy that gets, you know, you can't rely. He's a fun dude. You hang with him. He'll have a couple Coronas and jump off a boat with you. But you don't know that he's going to be there for you. Mitchell does your taxes. Mitchell is the guy that puts your will together. That dude. When you get to... And so now we've got a head coach in Chicago, his first ever gig, 39 years old, going to lead the franchise back to the promised land, hopefully. And he's not willing to put out there, look, my name is pronounced Nagy. I know it looks like it's Nagy,
well, you know,
but it's pronounced Nagy.
Here's what that makes me think of, is there's a guy who is up for the Hall of Fame induction. There's a guy who played his entire career with the Chicago Bears who was fantastic. He was an MVP, Defensive Player of the Year 1 year, number 54, Brian Urlacher.
Right.
And the majority of Chicagoans, and like I don't expect people to know every guy on the Bears, But he was arguably the most important Bear for a decade.
Urlacher.
They say Urlacher. It's Urlacher. And it's so easy to remember because it rhymes with linebacker. What do you call him?
Brian Urlacher.
Right, he's Brian Urlacher.
But see, this blows up my whole theory because he went through his entire career here and nobody knew how to pronounce his name, and he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Right. Okay. He should go. Dan Long, executive producer extraordinaire. What do you call him? You call him Urlacher? Do you call him Urlacher?
He's on the phone now listening to you. It's okay.
It's okay.
So, look, you know, people are texting and the Bears blew it. They should have hired Josh McDaniel.
We don't care about that.
First of all, we don't know that to be accurate. Josh McDaniel, when he was given a chance to be a head coach, failed miserably. Matt Nagy,
right? But other people, Belichick failed miserably the first time he was a head coach.
That's true. I'm not saying that his whole
Mike Shanahan failed miserably the first time he was a head coach.
I just don't want to make it out like Josh McDaniel is Bill Belichick. Now, Bill Belichick, who may or may not be back with the New England Patriots, I don't care what he says this week. If that dude was actually available and you could have swindled New England or made a deal with New England and gotten Bill Belichick here, now that would be a major drop. Matt Nagy is being called the Andy Reid called him the best head coaching candidate that he's ever worked with. And you've got the whole NFL with Andy Reid coaches.
He sure did a terrific job with Alex Smith. Alex Smith is near and dear to me. I've always maintained that people don't know how hard it is to have a different offensive coordinator from one year to the next. Alex Smith had like six in his first 7 years. Okay? No one got more out of Alex Smith than Matt Nagy. I think Matt Nagy did a great job he's fastest guy in the league, but a great job with Tyreek Hill, the wide receiver. And he had Kareem Hunt, a running back who was a rookie, and he turned him into the leading rusher in all the NFL. You know, the Bears, we like to do it on the ground, you know? I think Nagy's a very good choice, and I'm excited about the direction the Bears are headed in.
Right, and I want him to own the fact that he's the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Part of that means you actually own your last name, and you let everybody know, call me whatever. No, man, you're not happy to be here. You deserve to be here. And by the way, my name is Matt Nagy. N-E-H-G-Y, even though it's actually spelled N-A-G-Y. There was a guy that I used to do radio with. His first name was Connor. And when I started working with him, and I sent him some text, he's like, my name is spelled with two N's and an O. He didn't want it to be, a C-O-N-E-R. He wanted the C-O-N-N-O-R. That mattered to him because that was who he was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a certain, you know, you gotta plant the flag, Harry.
Did you ever meet Spike's wife, Tammy?
Spike Manton?
Yeah, my dear friend Spike Manton.
I love Spike Manton. No, I never met Tammy.
She is Tammy with one eye right in the middle of her forehead. That's Spike's joke. That's funny.
Okay, that's
that's a good one.
Slightly weird. Hey, Mike, welcome to WGN. You're trying to identify the problem here. We appreciate it. Go ahead, my friend.
Right, so that'd be Cyclops Tammy?
Yes.
Yes. Anyways, guys.
By the way, can I ask you a quick question? When Cyclops came to bat in Little League and he would take a pitch, would all of his teammates say, good eye, good eye?
No, good eye. They say good night.
I'm lost. Actually, anyway, I get that. Go ahead, Mike.
You lost me, Harry. Anyways, what I'm saying is I think that Matt is excited to be in town. We're excited to have him.
Uh-huh.
But who sets the tone? The wife. So I think you need to go to the wife to find out how they pronounce the name. Is it Nagy, Nagy, Nagy?
So
you know, it's like Urlacher, Urlacher, same thing.
Why are you giving all the power to his wife, Mike? Why can't he just step?
She sets the tone.
But she's not surrounded by reporters every day.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, she sets the tone as far as, you know, the household, and that's the most important thing. You saw the kids.
You saw
the family.
Yep. And the kid was going
to be here, and we're happy to have him.
Absolutely.
So I think you have to go to her.
What are you really saying that women are more honest than men, Mike? Is that what you're really getting at?
I think guys really generally don't care.
Uh huh.
Wait. You're saying guys don't care how their last name is pronounced?
Yeah, exactly. No.
What's your last name?
I'm not going to explain that to you on the, because there's a different way to, is Cunningham, Cunningham, is it Cunningham?
Got you, Mike.
All right, Mike, thanks for playing.
I got you, brother. 312-981-7200. For the record, I love the Matt Nagy story with his wife. The fact that he's, you know, he's arena football, making whatever he's making.
Right, two colleges recruited him.
Right, and, you know, goes to Delaware, one division, one double A, and the Arena League is folding. He's got four kids. He needs dough. He reaches out to a family, friend, associate, whatever, puts him in the real estate world. Hey, I can't just work on commission. Can you pay me some up front so I can support my family? The guy takes care of him. He proceeds to still follow his dream, has to ask for permission to go to be an intern coach, then accepts a job for one-third the amount of money to follow his dream, bets on himself. All that is incredible. And then, I mean, the payoff is ridiculous, too. 39 years old, you're the head coach of the Chicago Bears, making millions. Congratulations to you, man. I mean, that's a sweet story.
He's really easy to like. He's really easy to like. And his, not only does Andy Reid speak highly of him, but his players speak highly of him. Sometimes you'll get a guy whose boss loves him because he'll do the dirty work and the employees don't, or it's the reverse. The employees love him, but the boss doesn't. There hasn't been one negative thing said about this guy.
And there shouldn't be right now. Right. What will be the point? That's not actually true. The Kansas City Chiefs were up 21-3, and they hadn't won a playoff game at home in 24 years. He was in charge of the play calling in the second half, and with him in charge, which Adam Hoge asked him about at the press conference, and he answered, yes, I called every single one of those plays, and it's something that I'm going to have to work on and get better at. He owns his part in blowing an 18-point lead in the second half at home to the Tennessee Titans, who are going to get pounded by 50 points tonight to New England. It's not a good moment right there.
No, it's not. But I can see why somebody would say, I would have preferred Shermer, or I would have preferred McRoberts, you know, McDaniels. I'm thinking about the Duke player. I could see why somebody would say, I'd prefer a different guy. But I don't know how somebody could be like anti-Nagy. He's got some very good, he's on the Andy Reid tree. That is a strong tree, that Andy Reid tree.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, watching him talk the other day at his press conference, a whole lot to like there. And breath of fresh air, it's not John Fox, it's not Mark Trestman. It's not Dick Geron. It's not Lovie Smith.
Although I did like Dick Geron, and I had a good parody song for him.
What was that song?
They hired him on Monday, and what a thrill. He's Dick Geron. Yeah, he's Dick Geron.
Keep going.
The Packers, oh, the Bears are gonna kill.
Yeah.
With Dick Geron. Yeah, Dick Geron.
Yeah.
By the way, brand new parody. Alexi Andrikos, my buddy, who was a finalist on American Idol, Alexi Andrikos has agreed to perform. And he has recorded a brand new parody song that you and I will debut on this very show today.
Next.
We could debut it next.
Next.
We could debut it next. Let's do
next.
It. Next, we'll debut Alexi's brand new song. I wrote it. He sings it. Coming up, dead ahead.
From the oven to your plate, Chicago's Best is bringing you the most delicious bites on Chicago's Best Baked. That's this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. The new parody song for who?
For someone who's making their debut tonight for his brand new team.
For someone who's making his debut tonight for his brand new team.
He's never played for this team before, but he might have been the centerpiece of a big, big trade.
I think he might be playing at the United Center tonight.
Oh, you're good.
Reminder, Bill Wennington, the former Bulls center, will be here at 5:35 to preview. Star of the show tonight. Also a star of the show today, Danen Hughes. Former Kansas City Chief, former Iowa Hawkeye. He knows Matt Nagy very well. He'll join us at 4:35. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. That is right. Big day of sports tomorrow right here on 720 WGN. Great to see the Wildcats get a win, Harry.
It was great.
On Wednesday night?
Dominated. They dominated the Golden Gophers.
They dominated the Golden Gophers. I don't bet. I'm not a gambler. But when I got out to Allstate Arena on Wednesday night to do my small part with Dave Ennett and Ted, that would be phenomenal. It was a basketball game. And Joe and the great Joey Meyer. The Cats had so much energy in their layup line, and the coaches weren't wearing ties, and there was just a bounce to everything that was going on in purple and white. I was like, they are going to kill Minnesota tonight. And they did. Should have put a couple shekels down there, Harry.
Yeah, grand. Think of the money. But, grand, you could have bought 10 dozen roses for your girlfriend.
That's a very good point. He who gambles, though, lives in shambles. Somebody once told me that.
Really?
Yes. I think my dad was Papa Fred.
I heard, bet the mortgage. That's what I heard.
Hey, whatever works.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's hear this parody song.
So there's a brand new, so the key to the Bulls trade, the Jimmy Butler deal. So Chris Dunn has been spectacular, right?
Yeah.
Lauri Markkanen looks great.
Lauri Markkanen was incredible the other night with his 8-3s.
In New York? Oh, yeah. He was spectacular. So I've got a buddy, Alexi Androkos, and you can go to Alexi Music with a Z, aleximusic.com, for this song and for his new album and stuff. Alexi sings it. He does music. I wrote it. Here's a little something for Zach Levine.
And for the record, I have not heard it. I do not endorse this yet, but hopefully I will.
ACL in Feb 17, his knee, it did invert. Zach is back at 8 like Bulls fans never seen one of our guards get hurt. Zach in the UC's a star. Bulls fans, how lucky you are, boy. Zach in the UC's a star.
Yeah.
A healthy Zach could win more of those slam dunks. Levine can jump to the stars. Ask any athlete or any of us drunks. We'll say rehab's really hard. Zach in the UC's a star. Bulls fans, how lucky you are, boy. Zach in the UC, Zach in the UC, Zach in the UC's a star.
All right, we need informal poll text line 312.
Why do you do this every time? Can we just enjoy the song?
No, I need to know what people think.
Why does he do this, Dan?
I need approval, Harry. God. I want to know.
What were you like as a kid?
What do you mean? I was a great kid. I was a fantastic kid. I wore my Red Bulls pants and jumped up and down for Mike and then ran up to my parents and said, am I good enough? That's what happened. 312-981-7200. Would you like to see or would you like to hear Zach in the UC's a star again on this program at some point? Is that the name of the song, Zach?
That is the name of the song.
Zach in the UC's a star. Does anybody even know that Zach LaVine is returning tonight to play? Do people care about that outside of...
Yes, they care. Yes, they care.
Really?
Carm, this guy... Look, the Bulls have already messed up the plan to tank. The Bulls have already messed up the plan to get maybe the first pick in the draft.
They haven't completely messed it up. If they trade Nico, they're not that far away from a good, solid tank. But go ahead.
Okay, but... I'm very happy with Chris Dunn. I love Lauri Markkanen could be rookie of the year, right?
Lauri Markkanen is the rookie of the year right now. Lauri Markkanen.
Are you just saying that, or I mean, do you think he's a rookie of the year?
I think that, and David Haw wrote it in the Tribune this week. I think if you redrafted this year's draft, Lauri Markkanen is probably number one, right?
Yeah,
Jason Tatum, I would say, is right there in Boston, but you're not going to take Markel Fultz over him. You're not going to take Lonzo Ball over him.
No, you stupid. You do that.
Right. So, I mean, I think that he's probably the number one pick, so which is sweet.
So now you've got – and Jimmy Butler, by the way, is taking the T-Wolves. There's other guys up there, but Jimmy Butler and Thibodeau are going to go to the playoffs with the T-Wolves. God bless them. Great. Love Jimmy. Love Tibbs. Great. But we got two guys back already from that deal that are pretty damn good, and tonight is the guy who's probably the best of the threesome.
Right, but 312-981. I just don't – I don't exactly feel a buzz in the city that Zach Levine's back. Dan, do we have to take a break before the news here or no? We don't. All right, that gives me a chance to actually check out in my own scientific way how much of a buzz there is for tonight's basketball game at the UC.
Are you going to StubHub?
That is exactly correct. StubHub.com. I should have thought of this beforehand, but let's do it on the fly here.
Mm-hmm. That's the best way to do the show.
Right. Now I accidentally typed in cornstub.com. That's not what I wanted. So the point here is, Harry, that...
Our tickets had a premium. How about this, Carmen? Did you think about this? He got hurt last year. He got hurt about 11 months ago playing the Pistons. His first game back is tonight. Who are the Bulls playing?
They're playing the Pistons. How about that?
How about that? Look at that.
What do you think it would cost, Harry? Mm-hmm. What do you think it will cost to, to get into the building tonight? What's the cheapest seat? Bulls Pistons.
$70.
Okay, if it was $70, that would be incredibly high. Like this season, the cheapest seats have been as low as say
$30.
No, lower. Cheapest seats have been $15 on a dirt ball game, and
when they were 3-20.
Yeah, and maybe $30. Cheapest seat tonight, $61. That is an expensive ticket. Your theory that people care about Zach LaVine is actually accurate.
See,
now you could sit,
and it helps. It's a Saturday. I know that, but I believe that they do.
Well, even on Saturday games, really, it's impressive. If you want to sit in the good quality seats, which is lower level on the court,
like where Roe is sitting tonight,
where Roe Khan is at, it's as far cheapest one on Stowe, it's $200, which is overfaced. It's a big night for the Bulls.
It's a very exciting night.
It's a big night for the Bulls.
Number 8.
Everybody's involved. All right, we should head over there, see if we can find our way into the arena. 4:30. After the news, we'll talk to Danan Hughes, who played for the Kansas City Chiefs, was an Iowa Hawkeye. He knows Matt Nagy very well. Did the Bears make the right hire? We'll see what Danan has to say about that.
I'm here because of the organization and the direction, and I could feel that from the moment I was in that interview. That's a benefit to have Mitch Trubisky, and I know a lot about him because I had him in the combine and we spent some time with him. But this is a team game. You're just as important. Everyone on this team is just as important as the quarterback. But that was certainly a part of it.
WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday. We are tracking the Eagles and the Falcons. 6-3 Philly, second quarter, 7:31 to go. Who'd you pick in that game there, Harry Tynowitz?
I can't remember the last time a one seed was getting points at home.
Three of them.
I know that Nick Foles is no Carson Wentz, but this Eagles defense is terrific, and I'd like the Eagles plus the points here.
Okay. I actually took Philly as well. Feel zero confidence with that. But
big spread tonight.
Yeah, 13.5, New England at home with Tennessee. You think the Patriots cover that 13.5?
I think Tennessee could cover. I think it could be one of those backdoor covers where New England's up by a lot and Tennessee gets, late score. But that's an awful lot of points, and I'm a big Marcus Mariota guy. He had a very bad year, but he came through late in the game against the Chiefs. Did you know, Carm, I saw this last night, that since 1970, which they call the Super Bowl era, this is the second greatest age disparity of starting quarterbacks in the playoffs. And I don't have the first one, but Tom Brady is 16 years older than Marcus Mariota. I would guess maybe Steve DeBerg, who played, in his 40s. I think that would be my first pick. I'd have to see who he went head-to-head against. I would probably say that one. But Brady against Mariota, that's a 16-year difference. That's a big diff.
And I'll give Mariota credit for his composure and his mobility.
Yeah, he used his legs last week.
Yeah, which he's been banged up all season long. I thought he ran well last week. 13 touchdowns on the year, 15 picks for Mariota, but he showed up to beat Kansas City, which pains the man that is on the line right now.
It's a heck of a way to bring him on, Carm. Why don't you remind him of his prom date that didn't go well?
You started it. Danan Hughes was a wide receiver, special teams guy for the Kansas City Chiefs. Also, more importantly, was an Iowa Hawkeye superstar on both the football and baseball field, and he knows Matt Nagy well. So we're here to talk to Danan. Danan Hughes, thanks for jumping on 720 WGN. Appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, no problem, man. It was a fun Saturday until you had that intro. I mean, now you just brought me down, bro. I mean, come on.
You can count on Carm.
Well, you know, how much should Bears fans be a little leery of Matt Nagy when he can't hold a 21-3 lead against the Tennessee Titans at home and he's calling the plays, Dana Hughes?
Well, you know what? I don't know if all of it's going to be on Matt Nagy's shoulders. I mean, he did a great job this season. He, you know, Alex Smith obviously had a career year.
Yeah.
Did an outstanding job this year, only 5 interceptions. And I think a part of that is Matt Nagy's credit. And also you have Andy Reid, who's been a great, obviously, offensive mind in the NFL. But there's always been the question of, even though Matt Nagy was kind of dubbed as the not only just the offensive coordinator, but calling the plays, you always wondered, okay, well, is it just about calling the exact plays, or and how much involvement and influence is Andy Reid having? And so I say that because I can blame both of them. You know, you only get 61 yards in the second half against the Tennessee Titans. There's a lot of blame to go around. But for the Bears fans, I think you got a great offensive mind and a guy that will take some chances. And he will encourage your quarterback to throw downfield, which was one of the big drawbacks for Alex Smith throughout his career, is that he would never take chances throwing the ball vertically. And he did that this year. So you guys got a great hire.
Dana, when you put it like that, the Chiefs only got 61 more yards in the second half than I did last week.
Yeah, and the Bears.
Right. Okay, so obviously the key to this Bears team is Mitchell Trubisky. And yeah. Alex Smith had a bunch of different offensive coordinators that he's had to work with over the years. So is he the right guy, you know, is he the right man to get Trubisky to that next level?
I think so. Obviously, time will tell. Because, you, like I said, you wonder how much involvement Andy Reid has specifically. But Matt Nagy was the quarterback's coach before he was the offensive coordinator. So you have to give some credit to him about Alex and his development. Also, drafting a first-round pick and developing him, although we saw it in a small portion with Pat Mahomes coming in against the Denver Broncos for that last game of the season, Denver Broncos was still a top 5 defense in the NFL, and he carved them apart. So coming off the bench, there's a lot to be said about Mahomes' ability, but also about the coaching. He coached him up. And, you know, you sit on the bench and you sit in the cold for 15 games and then get thrown to the fire against a top 5 defense and you showcase like you did, you got to give some credit to the guy that's, you know, controlling everything. So that's why I say it's not just about Alex Smith and his development this year, that you can give credit to Matt Nagy. I think you can also give him credit for the offense overall, as well as what we saw with Pat Mahomes.
So are you saying that you think he's flexible in what he wants to do, Dana? I mean, maybe they'll do some spread offense. Maybe they'll do, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like he's a type of guy that doesn't have one way he wants to play, is going to craft his team to what they can do.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's gonna recognize his talents. He's gonna recognize his personnel, and he's gonna take advantage of that. I mean, obviously, we have one of the fastest guys in the NFL in Tyreek Hill. Well, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know to throw the ball downfield and let him take some chances. That's easy. But how he incorporated Kareem Hunt, not just in the running game, but in the passing game, how he was able to utilize guys like Albert Wilson, third and fourth receivers, being key contributors in this offense. And then also just encouraging the quarterbacks to not be afraid to make mistakes. I mean, let's face it, this is an offensive-driven league. All the rules are skewed towards the offense. So why not take advantage of that? And I think Alex Smith had to get away from himself, get out of his own head, and buy into that philosophy. And I think that's what Matt Nagy kind of preached, is, hey, take some chances. You see one-on-one downfield with no safety help, throw the ball up and trust your receivers. And that's what I saw development more this year. And that, the other factor is, he's not just taking chances downfield, but he'll take some chances with the play calling. I mean, there were some times when we scratched our heads about, you know, some of the choices that he made with trick plays and so on. But that just goes to his creativity, like you were just talking about.
Dana Hughes, with us here, former Kansas City Chief, former Iowa Hawkeye. I should tell you, my first ever game as a my first year at Iowa, September 5th, 1992, Harry, the Miami Hurricanes coming to Kinnick Stadium.
Yes.
Dana, right? Danny was on the field in his senior year. Didn't go great for the Hawkeyes. The U took that one 24-7. But I remember, I think you had the only touchdown in that game. Am I right?
No, actually, I had eight. I think I had like eight catches, okay. But they kept me out of the end zone.
Okay.
But yeah, that was the first ever. Also, you may not have known, that was the first ever night game at Iowa. At Kinnick Stadium. So, yeah, that was a monumental day. It was a fun time. Yeah.
Very, very cool. Kermit's so excited that you're on, by the way. He's got his Iowa Hawkeyes boxer shorts on. He's got his Brad Lowhouse jersey. He is so excited. Danan, so you're there every Sunday. You're watching the Chiefs. And
yeah.
I tell people that Gronk is still probably the best tight end, but Travis Kelce is arguably the second best tight end in football. He's going to go from the fastest wide receiver in football to a team that doesn't have wide receivers. He's going to go from the best or second best tight end to a team that is counting on a Division II rookie to be their tight end. You know, if you got Travis Kelce, that's a quarterback's best friend. Is he going to be able to get Trubisky, you know, to drive his team into the end zone when he doesn't have the likes of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce?
That's a great question.
Thank you. I'm done.
I think you know, in any situation, I mean, you know, there's still people that question Bill Belichick without Tom Brady. I mean, so, you know, there's always going to be that question. And the proof will be in the pudding. But here's what I noticed about Andy Reid, and I'm sure because Matt Nagy has been, you know, under his tutelage for so long. One thing I know about Andy Reid is what he's been able to do with his personnel is that he always puts the offense in a position to win. I mean, a couple of years ago, the Chiefs started out 0-5 and reeled off 11 straight wins, including one down in Houston in the first round of the playoffs. That's because even though they weren't taking chances downfield, you still had, you know, some questions in regards to personnel. Guys were not as healthy as they should have been or they could have been. They figured out ways to get into winning situations. So if Matt Nagy can take anything away from Andy Reid, to me, that's the kind of mindset that he has to take away from him, is put your team in a position to win and not lose. And then, you know, you lean on the athletic ability and the professionalism of those guys that are on the field that's making the plays. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that thought highly of Trubisky and what he's going to be able to become as a quarterback. And I don't think there's very many other coaches that are going to be able to stretch out that ability from a quarterback like him, like Matt Nagy.
Is it Nagy or Nagy? Because I think it's Nagy.
Nagy? I look at it as Nagy.
Yeah, all right.
But I'm a Jersey guy, so we don't pronounce anything right, you know.
hey, Springsteen rocks.
He's saying he doesn't care. I'm saying, hey, man, you're the coach of the Chicago Bears. Tell people how to pronounce your name. I don't care if you're 39 years old and thrilled to have the job. You're the head coach of the Chicago Bears. Have a presence. Same thing with Mitchell Trubisky. Tell everybody to call you Mitchell and not Mitch, because Mitch was the guy at Iowa that I was partying with, you know, at in the fraternity house that wasn't going to class. Mitchell was there getting ready to be an accountant, and he was ready. But that's neither here nor there, Danan Hughes. Let me ask you a little. Let me take a quick left turn, because you also played baseball at Iowa. You were very familiar with the Big Ten, watching the game as well, doing some broadcasting. And before, when the Cubs picked Kyle Schwarber, Harry, I got a text from Danan. You are gonna love this guy. Or maybe I said something about, I don't know about this pick, on Twitter, and Danan's like, look, you moron, that guy's gonna be great.
And the rest of the country ripped the Cubs. They said they went way too early on Schwarber.
So
and lo and behold, what about 5 months later? Did they think that same thing? Because I think he climbed the ladder in his first year in 2014 to participate in the playoffs. So we had it right.
You nailed it. They wouldn't have won a World Series without him. Now he's lost 30 pounds after a down year where he hit basically 200, but struck out a ton, but still hit 30 bombs. Are you still all in on Kyle Schwarber, Danan Hughes, as it is the Cubs convention this weekend?
Absolutely, and part of the reason is what you just mentioned. The fact that, you know, it's one thing to be a pro athlete and have success, But it's another thing to be a pro athlete, have success, and feel the need to still reinvent yourself for the sake of having more success. So to me, if there's ever a question about Kyle Schwarber and maybe his dedication or, you know, where he's going to fit in the lineup, because he's not really an outfielder and he's not doesn't have, you know, the abilities behind the plate to be an everyday catcher, but he's a player and then he's a professional. And to be able to go out and say, you know what, I've had success, maybe you had a down year, but I'm going to go and lose 30 pounds, build up my muscle, become a better athlete, and be more focused for this season. To me, that's all you need to hear from guys, is that, you know, anytime that guys have had success and they still are willing to reinvent themselves, to me, that's a huge, huge plus. So I'm going to be interested to see what he does this year, but I'm sure it's going to be special.
World Series. All right. I feel comfortable. Danny, great to hear your voice, man. Miss you and appreciate you jumping on today, and hope all's well in KC.
No problem, man. We're still a healing process. I appreciate you guys having me on, man, anytime.
I hope we helped in a little small way. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Danan.
All right, guys. No problem.
Danan Hughes, former Chief, former Hawkeye, as we get the opinion on Matt Nagy. Another positive one, Harry. Everybody loves Matt Nagy.
Right. It's good vibe. I mean, I really like what they did, and I love it that at his press conference, he said, I'm calling the plays. There was no hemming and hawing. There was no, we got to talk about it. I'm calling the plays.
Good. That's what you do. Go call those plays. Quick timeout, 4:50. We'll give you a NFL score update, and a very exciting thing come up here in the 5 o'clock hour we'll share as well. 720 WGN. So part of the deal, getting ready for the show, like any radio show, you trade stories during the week, things that interest you. Harry sends a story to Dan Long, who's producing the show, and myself this week. The headline is, Randy couple have sex in public in broad daylight. No one bats an eyelid. I'm like, Harry, what do you want to do with this? And what do you want to do with this?
I just want to ask. I mean, there are people that like don't like to kiss in public. Has anybody, we don't want details. Please, it's a family station, family show. Just yes or no, have you ever had sex in public?
A Randy couple got carried away after a boozy session and were filmed having sex on a street corner in broad daylight. The shocking incident was captured near the plush beaches of the province of Cumaná in the southern Peruvian department of somewhere. Blurry footage captured
somewhere.
Blurry footage captured by bemused onlookers showed the pair getting...
It says Peruvian. Where could it be?
It shows the pair getting down and dirty against a wall, clearly with no worries. They were in full public view. It's reported they committed the Randy act near a restaurant and had been boozing during the hours before, with both of them heavily intoxicated. That seems to make sense to me.
Randy sounds very Australian, doesn't it?
Nobody approached the pair, but many were seen walking by, clearly shocked by the pair's brazen act. Footage made its way online, quickly garnered a reaction from those who saw it. Eventually, people interrupted the couple during the act. One said, "Leave them alone. They were hot. They're coming back to the beach only to do dirty things." Another commenter said, "Why do you get angry? The shame is for them. Or are you affected somehow? But what kind of people are they?" There you go, the Randy act in public.
Now, I get uncomfortable when people breastfeed in public. The idea that, you know, my kid needs to eat right away, my kid is hungry, I get that, but I think you should cover yourself up. I think that's a good time, you know, that you should, like, maybe excuse yourself and go... You know, it's different if I go to someone's house and they do it in front of you. I'm still uncomfortable, but at least it's their own home. The idea of people having sex in public, and I am so pro-sex. I mean, I actually remember having sex.
You do?
Yes, I do.
That's awesome.
But the idea of people having sex in public, and that's crazy.
Yeah, that's a very aggressive, intoxicated maneuver that... Really shouldn't, Harry, this is going to be a real hot taker. I don't think you should do that. That is inappropriate, and there's lots of ways to perhaps go about that decision that would be more respectful to your fellow humans. However, there is one part of it, Harry.
Yes.
The spontaneity.
Right.
The not caring necessarily what anybody else thinks. That I do like. You don't necessarily have to follow all the rules in life. Sometimes you do want to follow your urges. Now, this would be a little bit over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And there are children, I feel guilty talking about this on the radio. So that would give me a hint that perhaps, you know, I would feel, I don't know what I'd feel if I was in that situation.
To me, the interesting part of this story is broad daylight.
Yeah, that too. I mean, right there for, not in an alley, not...
Well, I mean, you know, late night, I understand, you know, hey, you know, we were out, it was late, no one was around, it was dark. You know, you're discreet. Even though you're outdoors, you're discreet.
See, I find, like, even kissing in public to be a little bit off, a little aggressive.
No, I just didn't
want to... I don't even want to go to a wedding and watch the bride and groom kiss. Like,
what?
I'm not
okay,
into...
that's like a weird phobia.
Yeah, I just, you know... It's,
you don't want the bride... When they tap the glasses,
how long?
What do? You go under the table?
How long are they supposed to kiss? Like, if it starts to be a really long kiss...
Oh, my God.
If it's like a really long smooch at the bride...
I wonder why you're not married.
I just don't think you need a really long smooch bride and groom. But then you don't want it to be too short.
It's their wedding.
Yeah.
They are married.
Right. There's a whole room you could look around. You don't have to be like right up in their grill, eyes trained the entire time.
Oh, come on.
Hey, well, Carm's got like his little camera out. He's got a camcorder going.
I don't think that... no one's looking around the room. You're focused on the bride and groom. And I think,
right, but it's not a sexual thing. It's just like, hey, yeah, congrats, you got married. They kiss.
What do you mean it's not a sexual thing? What is
when
it?
When a bride and groom kiss, it's to celebrate their love, to celebrate their nuptials. They have joined together as one. They're starting a family. It's a new day.
What do kisses lead to? What is the whole point?
Gaining weight.
Oh. Okay, not your Hershey kiss, Harry, which you carry around in your back pocket. Mm-hmm. And... it's like Ferris Bueller's Day Off when they got the warm gummy bear. Would you like a Hershey's Kiss? Like, that's basically Harry. He's always got candy for you, which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, see what we got today, by the way.
What do you have today? All right, quick timeout. We'll get to the 5 o'clock news. Bill Wennington, the former Bull, will be with us at 5:35, 720 WGN. We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
WGN 506. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynowitz. It's the Cubs convention weekend, Harry. You've been over there, buddy?
I have not been yet this year, but I do love the Chicago Cubs, and I think it's a very special season. And I thought there was going to be a major announcement made, because they seem to do that. The Hawks are good at that. You know, the Cubs are great at that. There's going to be, like, I thought maybe Arrieta announcement or something like that. We got two good announcements yesterday. Kyle Hendricks re-upped and Tommy La Stella re-upped.
That was great. And then, that was great. That's a little bit over the top.
Well, Hendricks was great.
Well, okay, but they're all arbitration eligible. Nobody thought he was going anywhere, but okay. And then...
the big one.
The big one, Chris Bryant?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bryant, that's a record contract for a first-year arbitration eligible player. $10.85 million. Which is not, it's a beautiful thing for Chris Bryant, but it's the Cubs are going to have to pay Chris Bryant a lot of money down the line to keep him, and that means that'll be, it's way in the future, but once they have to pay KB and everybody else, Kyle Hendricks is going to need a big deal. At some point, you're going to have to pay Addison Russell if you want to keep him, or Javi Baez, or Kyle Schwarber. The list goes on and on and on and on and on, which is a beautiful thing when you have talent. Maybe Albert Almora will become an expensive piece at some point. Let's hope that he does. A lot of decisions. But so this is the calm before the storm, Harry.
Yeah, and I like it. And how smart was Theo? Remember people that got mad at him? Oh, he should be up for the start of the season? Keeping him down in the minors for those, you know, how many games did he miss?
See, I don't...
I think that was very smart.
Yes and no. I mean, I don't... If the Cubs are going to end up keeping Chris Bryant, they're not going to allow him to get all the way to free agency. They're going to sign him well before that. So I don't think that year is going to come into play. Now, it is true that he was arbitration eligible 1 year later, so they did save some money along the way. That is fair enough.
Right. What else interests you about the Cubs right now?
Well, two things. First of all, Jesse Rogers wrote this up for ESPN, and the Tribune's got a quote from Ricketts talking about it as well. As far as Sammy Sosa coming back to the Cubs, Sosa needs to, quote, put everything on the table. The quote in the Tribune, the video in the Tribune, rather, he says he doesn't want to talk about Sammy specifically, but anybody from that era has to come clean to come back to the team. Now, Barry Bonds has been a hitting coach in Miami without coming back and being clean. Mark McGwire has worked
with the Cardinals.
Yes, and hasn't said anything. But for whatever reason, the Cubs want Sammy Sosa. Not even he's not trying to work. We're just talking about having a day to come back to Wrigley Field to honor the guy who leads the franchise in home runs, who played there for 13 years, hit 545 bombs, 3 years of 60 or more. He has to come clean and say that I did steroids.
The most electric player I ever saw at Wrigley Field in my life.
Sammy.
Everything stopped. Were you beer vending? And that was way past your beer vending days, right?
No, I was beer vending. Are you kidding me? I was the only career that I've ever reached the pinnacle. I came out of the womb and I started vending. I was doing hot dogs at 2 and I finally got to beer at 21.
Get your placenta here.
Beer man. Yes, of course I was there.
Beer vendors stopped. People stopped buying beer when Sammy strolled to the dish.
Sammy. Yes, it was the greatest.
It was awesome.
Yeah, and
then he fooled us. The bat exploded against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Nobody cared about that.
I mean, nobody cared about that.
There wasn't any. You got to apologize for having a cork back before you come back to the team. Oh, when's your suspension over? Okay, get back out there.
I cared about that. People cared about that. Don't say nobody cared about that. And Sammy said he happened to grab the one. Look.
You didn't care about.
Yes, I did. Because Sammy said that it was the first time he ever used a bat like that, and it was a batting practice. And what we're talking about is on a Monday night, the Cubs-Tampa Bay Rays, Sosa's first time up that night, his bat exploded.
I remember it.
Super balls, right?
Yeah.
Super balls came flying out, and he said it was a batting practice bat that he had never used in a game, and he happened to grab that instead of his actual bat. So two things on that, okay? Number one is Major League players swear that if you put them in a room blindfold and handed them 20 bats, they could tell you which one is theirs.
He was cheating.
Right? Sammy
is a cheat.
For him to say it's the only time that he ever used that bat, I don't think so.
No, of course not.
So did he hit how many home runs with the Super Bowl bat? 2? 20? 40?
Who knows?
Right.
I would say, yeah. But my point is, when he did come back and he's at the plate, you were still rooting for him, were you not?
Well, yeah. I mean, right. Wanted the Cubs to win.
Right. So we're all hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite.
Mm-hmm. I'm a hypocrite.
Because I'll point out that I will go at the Patriots for being a cheating organization and saying that I don't like them because of that. I'll go at Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens and whoever else you want to pick who was in the steroid era and say they don't belong in the Hall of Fame. And I don't believe they do. You cheated the game, and I know that Barry would have been in without it, and the same thing with Roger. But you cheated the game.
Barry Bonds is arguably the greatest outfielder to ever play baseball in the history of the sport.
Sure, but he cheated.
He did.
And with Sammy,
how about Sammy and McGwire? The impact they had at a time when the country had turned their back to the sport, Sammy and Big Mac brought them back.
Yeah, and I think that's all.
You tell me that's not that accurate?
No, I think it's overblown. They wouldn't have come back to baseball without Sammy and McGwire. Of course they would have come back to baseball without Sammy. Of course they would have.
Look where baseball was. College football has passed baseball in fan interest. College football is more popular now than Major League Baseball.
Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Is healthier now than it ever has been.
It used to be number one. Football dwarfs it now. And I love baseball. I go to a bunch of Sox games and a bunch of Cubs games every year.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Chris Bryant just got arbitration eligible to the money in the game. He just got $11 million. Players are getting paid $40 million. MLB.com is soaring. The amount of people that go to baseball games is huge. Baseball is thriving. There's no problem for baseball. Sure, more people watch the NFL because there's 16 games.
More people, you get the same amount of people interested in college football than you do in Major League
Baseball. College football is enormous.
Okay.
It's fine.
Let me ask you this, Carm.
And baseball would have come back without Sammy and McGwire. Go ahead.
If you trace when the fans really came back, it was in that 98 season.
Yeah. That's right. They were upset about the strike and the World Series being canceled in 94. But how many times has the NHL gone on strike?
Too many.
7,000. What do the fans do? They come back. How many times has baseball gone on strike?
If you watch...
How many times has the NFL gone on strike? How many times has the NBA gone on strike? We always come back. We love our entertainment. You don't need one Sammy and a Mark McGwire home run, whatever.
But they were very significant. It'd be unfair to not give the importance, to not point out that was such a significant... I can't think of like a specific event that brought fans back to baseball as the McGwire-Sosa home run chase. It was like a movie script every night. Sammy hit one. Big Mac hit two.
It was great for baseball, but baseball would have been fine without it. My point is that they went for the quick fix. They went for let's get everybody juiced up. Let's get the balls flying out of the ballpark. Let's get interest. Well, they ended up tainting the game. It was not worth the risk. Fans would have maybe it wouldn't have happened as fast, but of course they would have come back. People love to go to the ballpark, drink beer, eat hot dogs.
And now Tom Ricketts wants Sammy to lay it on the line.
Yeah, his quote was, "I just think we need to put everything on the table and move forward, full stop." Tom Ricketts, 312-981-7200. Mark Harmon, Harry Tynowitz here. Do you want to see Sammy back? Does he need to apologize? Is Tom Ricketts holding a higher standard for him that's not being held for Barry Bonds, that's not being held for Roger Clemens? Cub fans, do you I don't get how everybody just turned on this guy. To the level that, yes, in 2004 he left the ballpark early.
Right.
But when Sammy was on the field, Sammy gave it his all, his entire career.
Wasn't that the last day of the season when Sammy left the ballpark early? And the Cubs printed the pictures of him leaving early?
Yeah. The season was over. They had blown it. They went 2-5 down the stretch on losing, getting swept by the Mets.
You don't have to remind me.
Yeah, so get over it. It wasn't...
Okay, Glenn Frey.
Well, he had 3 years of 60 bombs or more, and no one has ever electrified...
The year he hit 40 home runs, he got hurt August 1st.
Right.
He had 40 home runs by August 1st.
No one has ever electrified that ballpark the way he did, that I've seen.
Very well said.
And he's looking a little different these days.
A little different, man. He went all like Michael Jackson.
Right. But I still think... You bring back Sammy and have a moment for Sammy.
Okay, the Blackhawks do this thing, one more shift. And last year I took Lucy, my daughter, to the game where they happened to do one more shift with Eddie Belfour. And she didn't know who Eddie Belfour was. And now, like, she'll mention him. Or we'll talk about him. Because they brought him back for one more shift. Tomorrow, the Hawks play right here. There's no team I enjoy... It's really tough for me. Bears over the Packers or Hawks over the Red Wings. There's no team I think I enjoy a Chicago team beating more than the Red Wings. Red Wings and Hawks tomorrow, and they're going to do one more shift for Eric Daze.
That's amazing.
Now, Eric Daze, not the greatest Blackhawk. He came in second in his rookie of the year voting. But after that, he wasn't so great, and I never thought he played to his frame. Know what I mean? He didn't take advantage. Like, there were players like Keith Primo who would use their great wingspan. I don't think Daze ever did that. But I am so excited to see Eric Daze get one more shift tomorrow.
So you want one more shift for Sammy?
I love the idea. You know, I love the concept.
Sammy. 312-981-7200. Tom Ricketts, though, was very, very complimentary to one... I can't even call him a Cub. We'll explain that coming right on back here, 720 WGN. All right, we're going to have a Cubs question for you in a second here. 312-981-7200. Harry Tynowitz, Mark Harmon. This is like unanimous on the text line. 630, he's a cheater. We don't want him back. Talking about Sammy Sosa, who Tom Ricketts, Cubs owner, said he's got to apologize, come clean before we would ever invite him back to Wrigley Field. That's what was said at the Cubs convention. 630, I cared about the cork bat and that he did steroids. Come on. Why would you even want him to make anything out of Sammy Sosa? I don't know. It's like the greatest Cub of all time when he was playing.
I'm not saying put him in the Hall of Fame. I'm not even saying retire his jersey. I'm saying the man deserves a day.
You do say he deserves a day. Okay.
Yeah. And if Ricketts is saying come clean, I think he's well aware of the fact that's the last thing Sammy's going to do. Tom Ricketts, very, very smart man. I think he knows if he says that, that he can't lose. Because either Sammy is not going to come clean. I don't think he will. And that implies that I think he was cheating. And obviously he was, in my book. And I think that if he does come clean, Ricketts is a genius because he's the guy that got Sammy to admit it.
Sammy ain't admitting it. No way he'll take it to his grave. 847 makes a great point here. Why should Sosa have to come back? Why should Schultz have to come clean to be brought back, but yet they hire Manny Ramirez? That's a great point. You went out and hired Manny Ramirez to be your hitting coach, convicted PED user multiple times.
Well, Manny Ramirez, Cubs fans did not have an emotional attachment to.
Right. And so?
Sosa was a hero.
But they hired him.
How many people do you know that named their babies Sammy? You know, like people that were born like around 98, around that time. How many? Think of all the Jordans, all the kids named Jordan or Michael that were born in the 90s. Okay? If you're a Cubs fan, you named your kid for someone. If it was a daughter, maybe Grace. Maybe Sammy. But Sammy Sosa was iconic. Manny Ramirez is a great player, but he had no, and I believe Manny holds the record for most postseason Grand Slams, but there was no emotional attachment. We don't feel like Manny let us down. I think a lot of Cub fans feel like Sammy let them down.
Sosa cheated over and over and over. Is not man enough to fess up. I cared then. I care now. I'm with Ricketts, Sue B., and Glenview. There are some coming in here for Sammy.
I think we all need to admit what we cheated on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. We all sit there on our high moralistic pulpit here. No one's perfect. I mean, last week we figured out that Harry was trespassing at Whole Foods.
I was not trespassing. That copper was mistaken.
Harry was going to Whole Foods, parking his car in their lot, and then going across the street to try out to be on Chicago Med, but he did buy a jelly bean at Whole Foods, so he thought that was legal.
I bought blueberry muffins and bagels.
So, again, Harry was trespassing at Whole Foods. Right. We're none of us are perfect. Guys, the Sammy thing put it over the top. Guys, the Sammy thing that put it over the top for me is when he couldn't speak English when he testified.
That's what I was going to say.
That was a bad one. Well, he didn't want to get caught in the old crosshairs. Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
There was one guy today that Tom Ricketts was very complimentary to, who's also Cub fans. Some Cub fans love him, and sub Cub fans can't stand him.
Is it you?
It is not me. Not me at all. And I gotta. But there's one guy who has been with the team since I was born. And when I first became conscious of being a Cub fan, he was there.
Yosh Kawano?
Not Yosh Kawano. But his name is Ronnie Woo Woo. And he was, and Ricketts was asked about Woo.
Ronnie's an icon, and he had some issue last year at some point, but he's part of the family.
Ronnie Woo Woo is an icon. And he is part of the family.
He had some issue.
I don't know what the question was about, but he literally called Woo an icon. I need to hear that one more time. Sammy Sosa's got to apologize.
Icon. Woo!
I mean, Sosa's got to apologize, and Ronnie Woo is an icon?
Ronnie's an icon, and he had some issue last year at some point, but he's part of the family.
He's part of the family. 312-981-7200. Who would you rather see at Wrigley Field? Woo Woo or Sosa? Woo Woo or Sosa, Harry?
Come on. Is that even a question?
He just called Ronnie Woo Woo an icon, man. Ronnie Woo was a flat-out icon. Sammy Sosa's got to apologize and tell everybody that he peed on the toilet seat before he could come back. Woo Woo is they're gonna next thing you know, Woo Woo's gonna have his own flag next to Santa on the foul pole.
They're gonna it wouldn't be his jersey. They're gonna retire his fake teeth.
They'll No, it's just going to be a flag that says woo-woo. They're going to retire W-O-O-W-O-O.
No, they're not. They're not.
Maybe they'll allow them to sing the seventh inning stretch. I think what that was about there was that
take woo me woo. Be the longest seventh inning stretch in history.
I'm a big Ronnie woo-woo guy. I always enjoyed woo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't want to spend like a day with woo, but a moment with woo. Like, there should be a book out there, A Moment with Woo.
When you bump into him at the game, do you say, woo, are so beautiful Ronnie, to me?
Ronnie, what's up, dude? You're Ronnie Woo. You're a Chicago icon, and now a Cubs icon.
A Cubs icon is Ernie Banks, Billy Williams, Fergie Jenkins, Ron Santo. Those are Cubs. Give me the 69 Cubs. Give me Kessinger, Beckert, Hundley. Those are the icons.
Okay, but Sammy's not welcome back, and Woo's an icon. That's what we learned from the Cubs convention this year. Woo's an icon. Sosa's brutal. Jim, what's up, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, how you doing? Hey, you know what? Bring Sammy back. What the heck? Why not? He was only doing what they allowed him to do. Come on. You know what I mean? They were juicing the ball then. Everybody knew that.
Right. I agree. They knew what he was doing. Absolutely. Yeah, all those guys. Rock, Roger Clemens, Bonds.
Let the guy come back. Yeah, look at Bonds. Christ, he's got commercials.
Hey, Jim, would you rather see Sammy back at Wrigley or Woo Woo?
Sammy. Okay. Sammy, all the way.
Thanks, Jim.
I remember the days watching him on TV. I tell you what, it was the greatest day in the world, man. Right. Bring him back. Who cares about all that stuff? You know what? I used to do dumb things when I drank. I don't drink anymore. I don't have to say I'm sorry every day.
Been there.
Thank you, Jim. Yep. Hey, Jim, before you go, just go with it three times for me. Sammy, Sammy, Sammy.
Sammy, Sammy. Hey, Sammy, come on back.
There you go. Thanks, Jim.
All right, man.
See, that was it right there. Mm-hmm. Sammy.
If the man should be allowed to come back. They could give him a day. You know what? If the fans would cheer him, but if the fans boot him, maybe that would be like another way to get Sosa to come out and say, hey, I was juicing. He wasn't the only guy juicing.
No, he wasn't. And okay, let's just say this. You know, Mark Grace didn't juice, okay?
Right.
Okay, you know what he did do? He smoked cigarettes.
He smoked a lot of cigarettes, and he had a couple beers.
And he drank a lot, and he had multiple DUIs.
Multiple? I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
I know he had one in Arizona.
No, okay. I think it's multiple.
I don't know about that.
He's had a lot of incidents.
I believe since his Arizona DUI, I believe he's been...
I thought there was a couple before the last one.
I don't know. We can find out. But
whatever it was.
Mark Grace also lived in Chicago year-round. He promoted the Cubs year-round. There's so much more about... Mark Grace saved Sean Dunston, who I loved. He saved Sean Dunston, what, 40 errors a season?
Okay, he smoked a ton of cigarettes, drank a lot, never lifted a weight in his life, couldn't hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Probably got more quality babage than any other player. Although I'm told David Cone had similar numbers.
Yeah, who was cheating the game and who was cheating themselves? Just putting it out.
Mark Grace is spectacular.
Of course,
a great Cub.
Of course,
he's iconic. Not Ronnie Woo Woo.
20 remaining. Except one timeout left. Starks lost his footing. Here is Jordan. The Bulls by two. The Knicks call for time.
I really wanted Michael to shoot it. Not going to lie. That fadeaway was going in. But 34, Bill Wennington was there, and he threw it down with authority, Harry Tynowitz. That's what he did.
Hey, it wasn't the first time the Garden crowd had seen Wennington win a game.
That's a very good point. Let's get those Johnnies out there. Bill Wennington, your former Chicago Bull, part of course, the radio broadcast with Chuck Swirsky, joining us now on 720 WGN. I mean, Mike's making that shot, right, Bill? I mean, he didn't need to pass it to you there.
Well, it's not like he had 55 points and was hitting everything in the world that night. And Ewing left me wide open. What was he thinking?
Do you think that Jordan's biggest regret is that he didn't give the ball to you more at the post?
I'm sure he has nightmares about that right now. Not necessarily at the low post, but just mid-range jump shot. I mean, you know how many screens I set for that guy?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Unbelievable.
I got two stories that I want to share about Bill Wennington before we get into this current version of the Bulls. Number one, when the Bulls used to practice at the Multiplex before they went to the Birdo Center,
right.
Bill Wennington, and you can confirm this, Bill, would come and occasionally would play in the summertime. A bunch of guys would play pickup with the regular stragglers, mm-hmm. like myself, B.J. Armstrong would play. But these guys would walk in the gym, and they'd step right on the court and take the next game. 34, Bill Wennington was like, hey, you want to play next? Like, no, man, I'll wait my turn. Like, you waited your turn with the schlubs at the gym, Bill Wennington. That, to me, is like more class than anything else you can do in life, right there.
I have two great Wennington stories. Why are we kissing his ass?
Hold on, I got to confirm one. Hold on, wait. You know, Mark, the reason I did that was because I had just walked in the gym, and I was a little bit older than most guys, and it usually took me about a half hour of stretching to get loose because I didn't want to lose to you slubs at the gym.
I didn't factor that in.
I'm just kidding.
We did like a thing at ESPN where we went out and painted some school for some kids, and Wennington volunteered, and he'd played the night before, and the game was in overtime, and he came out the next day, said he would. A lot of guys make a phone call there, you know, or don't even call. Wennington came out. My favorite, though, was I got to go to a Hawks game with Wennington and Joe Klein and their kids. It was awesome watching Wennington explain hockey to Joe Klein.
Yeah, because hockey's so different up in Canada.
Here's one more, and then we'll get into down to business here.
Let's just do the next hour and a half.
We could do this. I think you were playing one-on-one versus Michael either at practice. No, it couldn't have been at practice. It was on the court before a game. You guys were just working on things before the game, and Mike was scoring on you, and people were laughing at you. And Jordan, I believe, if you remember this, turned to whoever was doing that laughing, said, "You want to come out here?"
Michael kind of. I'm not going to say he was good because he was freaking great, and he could beat just about anyone. He could beat anyone he was playing against, but. You know, there was a little competition. I tried to win. And believe it or not, I was trying. But I tell you what, he is a competitor, and if you played with him, you know that. If you watch his career at all and how many games he won and how he performed every night, you know that. But he wanted to win at everything he did, and he also made those around him better. It was so fun to play with him. People always ask me, what'd you like playing about with Michael? I said winning.
That's one thing. What do you think when they compare LeBron to him, Bill?
Well, I think that a lot of people that are doing that do not remember Michael playing every single night, and that's so hard to do. It's hard to compare guys from different eras. People that are dead set on LeBron James never saw Michael Jordan play in person. Yeah, they may have seen a few highlight films and whatever, but they didn't see him play night in and night out. And even some of the ones that are saying, well, LeBron is just so much better, he's a different player, and he is a great player, and he's the best player playing the game right now in today's world. But if you're asking me if I could pick Michael Jordan in his prime and LeBron James in his prime, I'm picking Michael 10 times out of 10, excuse me, to be the leader of my team, because I know he's going to make me better and challenge me every day to be better and find a way to challenge himself. And in his mind, it's all about winning, and that's all that matters.
Multiple NBA champion Bill Wennington, part of the Bulls radio broadcast with the great Chuck Swirsky, joining at the Carm and moi on WGN to talk about Zach LaVine. So here we are. He wanted to be here for the start of the season, but Zach LaVine will make his Bulls debut tonight, and I find it kind of cool that he got hurt against the Pistons and he's coming back against the Pistons. What should Bulls fans expect from probably the most athletic guy in that locker room?
Probably he's only going to play about 20 minutes tonight. From everything I hear, in practice, he's looked absolutely phenomenal. If he could come back and be tonight and for the first 2 weeks just half of what he was before he got hurt.
And we lost Bill. Let's try to reconnect with Bill. But that's a serious Zach LaVine excitement there, Harry.
It was exciting. Man, I was on the edge of my seat Do you think Bill's okay?
I think Bill's going to be fine. I think.
I hope it was just the phone going out.
I think he might have been like, guys, are these guys going to ask me one more Michael Jordan question? I can't help myself. You know, when you get to talk to somebody who played with him, I got to bring it up.
Yeah,
and then we can get to this Bulls version. Let's bring Bill back in here. All right. Yep. Yeah. So, all right, 20 minutes tonight, and you're adding him into the mix with Chris Dunn and Laurie Markkanen's rolling. I don't know. This team's looking up to me, Bill. That trade was great for Minnesota, but I think it's even better for the Bulls.
Well, I have to agree, because if you're looking long-term, you have to question and wonder how long Jimmy's going to be in Minnesota. Now, if he re-ups his contract in 2 years and stays there, that's great for Minnesota. But we got some young players. We drafted a Markkanen who is above and beyond what we thought he could be. Chris Dunn is a year ahead of schedule as far as the way he's playing. He's playing just like he did right now, or almost like he did when he was at Providence. And with Zach LaVine, if he comes back and is anything what he was, this is phenomenal. We got a great young team and a nucleus that we can grow and build with for years to come.
All right, Bill, most people, they only know Zach LaVine from college days at UCLA, or they know him from winning the slam dunk competition. But before we lost you, you started to say if he was only half.
But yeah, if he comes back right now, just half of what he was before he got hurt in his first few weeks, he's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, this is a guy. Do you like him more at the one or at the two? I mean, he's obviously going to play the two with Chris here, but they would have him handling the ball a lot. So I think he could facilitate as well here. But I mean, it's not just a shooter they're bringing in, not just a leaper. He's actually pretty comfortable with the ball in his hands, creating for others too.
You know, that's what makes him so hard to guard, and that's what's going to make the Bulls a better team right now. Because now, you know you have Chris Dunn on the floor, a guy that can break you down and get to the basket and score, and now you're throwing another player that can do that. So you have to stay attached to him because he can shoot from distance, capable of putting the ball on the floor, and he's a willing passer. He'll be able to pass the ball out to the shooters on the outside. Now we're going to have two guys that can break down any defender on them and get to the rim. How are teams going to guard that and still protect the perimeter for the shooters we have on the outside?
Man, you paint a pretty picture. Well, Bill, he's so athletic. What kind of a defender are we getting?
Well, that's what we're going to have to see. You know, the word on him he hasn't been a great defender, but
right.
He is so athletic, and it's just going to be a matter of now if he fits into what the Bulls scheme is right now, rotating him around. And, you know, that's something we're going to have to see, because if you look at his career when he was at Minnesota, he wasn't the best defenders. That wasn't one of the things you're talking about. But we'll see. You know what? When you have to sit out a year and you have to watch a lot and you're addressing your career and what your legacy is going to be, you have different thoughts. So we're going to have – that's what one of the things that we're going to have to wait and see. But even if he's the same defender he was in Minnesota, which wasn't that great, we're still going to be a better team in this system with Fred Hoiberg and the way the team is playing so well together right now.
Bill Wennington with us here on 720 WGN. Do you think that Nico and Laurie Markkanen could play together? Because, I mean, I do. And I think that Nico, he's saying that he wants to be traded. But I actually just think I think he will be. But to me, he just sort of wants to feel the love from the Bulls and that he's wanted. And I don't think he feels that. And so he's looking at Utah or wherever he's going to be. But do you think, like, just schematically, could those two play together?
Mark, that's a good question. I think they can play together. I think that's one of the Bulls' better lineups now. If you go small and have Laurie Markkanen play in the five spot, you put Nico at the four, and you go, I mean, now with Zach back, you can go even smaller with some good defenders, and you got great speed coming up. You throw Nwaba in there, who is a great guy at the three spot also. They could just rebound, push the ball up the floor, and another guy you have to worry about in transition. And I think it's possible. I think it's a good lineup. And I think we'll probably see that here coming down the stretch. But ultimately, I don't know what's going to happen with Nico. And, you know, you said it all right there, what Nico's expressed and what he wants and how he feels. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens before February 10th.
Billy, my favorite player on this team wears 45. Denzel Valentine was the college player of the year. Sam Smith isn't impressed by him, and Sam is a basketball, you know, guru. What do you think of where Denzel is today? What is his future?
Well, I think Denzel is a guy that would fit in well on any team right now. His athleticism, the way he's not going to break anyone down and beat a lot of guys to the basket, but he's a very smart, heady player. He's shooting the ball really well right now, which is what he has to do. He understands spacing on the floor. He can attack the basket. He's not going to beat a lot of guys to the basket, and he's not going to finish above the rim on top of people. But the way he plays is just smart right now, and if he could just limit his mistakes defensively in rotations, I think he could be an integral part of any team. But it's just going to be a matter of what the Bulls want to do and see how he goes. But I'm with you. I like him. Is he a deal breaker or a game changer? No, but he fits in very well with what the Bulls are doing right now.
Did you play with Dirk, Bill, or was that before you were Dells before then?
I wish I was that young.
I don't know why I'm misremembering that, but I'm just thinking about Mark and people are comparing him to Dirk, and obviously you saw Dirk and all that type of stuff. But is that too tall? Is I guess where I'm going here?
No.
I mean, that's a big comparison.
That is a big comparison because you're talking about a guy at the end of his career and all that he's accomplished right now. I think that there's a lot of similarities, and I like that comparison. I think it's very good. But let's talk about Porzingis right now. We just played New York. We saw New York. Porzingis is a young player, and I would say right now he's just as good as Porzingis at the same time right now. So I think the sky's the limit right now for Lowry. He is playing so well. He really understands the game. He's a smart player. When his three-point shot's not working, he goes down to the low post more. He puts the ball on the floor. He's able to put it on the floor and finish above the rim. He's able to put it on the floor and finish with finesse around the rim. And you have all the stats on his three-point shooting right now. He's just absolutely terrific.
My favorite stat about him is the dude's 20 years old. And when I've talked to him about him, I'm like, did you feel like you belonged right when you got here? I mean, you played 1 year at Arizona, and you're just stepping in. He just doesn't seem fazed by much. It's impressive.
No, it is impressive. But you got to remember, a lot of European players have played overseas in different youth leagues. He's already played for the Finnish national team. So his experience is way above just the average, let's say, high schooler coming in who's played AAU basketball. They've been in much more intense situations, played different styles of basketball where they're taught how to play as teams and play basketball a little bit differently than the regular AAU program. So his maturity in that respect is a lot different, and he really has adapted to the NBA game well.
Bill, I'm legitimately excited to watch Zach LaVine play. Carm and I were talking, where's the level of excitement? He was looking on StubHub for what tickets were going for. You're at the United Center. What is the vibe there tonight? Is this a special evening? Are people like all...
It's 5:50. It's an hour and 10 minutes. There's one guy selling popcorn right now.
Well, hold on, but it's a big night.
I think the doors are open. I'm sitting here courtside watching guys warm up. Lowry's shooting foul shots right now as we speak, and there's people in the stands. Coincidence or not, it's Zach LaVine bobblehead night.
How about
and
that?
There is a definite buzz in this building. People are excited. Even in the media room eating dinner, people are talking about Zach and what he's going to do and how much is he going to play, what's going to happen. So there's a definite buzz. And I don't want to kill the buzz because it's phenomenal. I'm excited, just as you are, Harry, to watch him play. But anytime you have a player that's going to come in and play that many minutes, and it's just 20 tonight, is my understanding for minutes restrictions, it changes the chemistry of the team and how things go. And that's an adjustment that doesn't happen overnight. Now, it could tonight. The vibe and the energy may just go through the ceiling. It might be fantastic. Or it could throw things out of kilter a little bit. But in the long run, I think this is going to be absolutely phenomenal for the Chicago Bulls.
I don't want to get you in trouble, Bill, but I'm just going to suggest that you steal Chuck Swirsky's pillow tonight and you put it somewhere where he can't find it. And then in a big Zach LaVine game, that there could be a panic there.
A pillow?
Doesn't he? He has like that little prop.
His cushion. Yeah. Okay, I'll tell you. I got you. His cushion that he sits on.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill, Carm brought up Swirsk. Now, sports radio would not exist in this town if it weren't for Kopic and Chuck Swirsky. I'm a big Chuck Swirsky fan, but I am just blown away by how often the guy tweets during a game. He's play-by-play. He's got to have his eyes on the floor every single second, even when you're covering him. You know, how can he tweet so often during live action of a game?
Man's a legend.
I got two things to say to that. And first of all, you said you're big. I said I thought you were on a diet and getting smaller, Harry.
Down 100 pounds. Down 100 pounds.
Awesome.
Shocking, isn't it? You know how I?
Shocking. It's awesome.
You know how I did it?
How did you do it?
I only eat the weeks that my wife wants to be intimate.
Okay. I got you. I understand how that works.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. And
Chuck,
as far as Swartz tweeting, he's amazing at that. I don't know how he does it. If I tweet, I lose focus of everything else I'm doing. I can't do it. But he somehow is able to pull himself right back into the game. And I suppose that's why he wants me to talk so much, so he can tweet more.
Bill Wennington, great to talk to you. Always enjoy the broadcast. You guys do a great job. And, hey, things are looking up, man. I think you're going to have some exciting action the rest of the way, and hopefully the Bulls will be back in the playoffs doing things next year.
They definitely will be, and I'm going to be honest with you. The Bulls are about a year ahead of schedule right now. I don't think they expected play out of all the guys in the team to gel so well this year. So only good things to come for the Chicago Bulls right now. It's awesome.
It is. It really is.
You're awesome. Thank you for giving us your time tonight, William.
Thanks a ton, Bill.
Harry, Mark, always a pleasure, brothers. Take care.
We appreciate it. Bill Wennington, good old number 34. You want to play the song again, Harry? You want to play your Zach?
I think we should. You tell me. You want to play it a little bit?
We'll play the Zach LaVine song one more time after this quick 2-minute timeout. Yes?
Sounds beautiful.
One more time for everybody to get fired up for Zach LaVine at the United Center, 720 WGN. Harry Tynowitz wrote a song about Zach LaVine, perhaps because he's got too much time on his hands, but I appreciate that.
Yeah, and the guy that makes it come to life is my buddy Alexi Andrikos. Alexi Andrikos, he's like the Greek Michael Bublé. He's awesome.
The words are the highlight of this song, though.
Alexi singing is the highlight of this song, and you can go to his website, Alexi Music with a Z, aleximusic.com.
Harry's words, Alexi's voice, what a combo, 720 WGN.
Blew out his ACL in Feb 17. His knee, it did invert. Zach is back and ain't like Bulls fans never seen one of our guards get hurt. Zach in the UC's a star. Bulls fans, how lucky you are, boy. Zach and the UC's a star. A healthy Zach could win more of those slam dunks. LaVine can jump to the stars. Ask any athlete or any of us drunks, we'll say rehab's really hard. Zach and the UC's a star. Bulls fans, how lucky you are, boy. Zach and the UC, Zach and the UC, Zach. The UC's a star.
So good. So well. So nice.
He's awesome.
Zach in the UC's a star. I don't want you to get too hyped for Zach LaVine.
Carmen's pretty exciting. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete. You saw him play at college, right? You saw him as a UCLA?
I remember him in UCLA, yes. In his one season, I remember saying that the Bulls should draft him and not pick Doug McDermott.
At least we didn't waste a bunch of first-round draft picks on the Doug McDermott deal. Oh, wait.
Gary Harris was...
I like another Spartan.
Gary Harris was picked after Doug McDermott in the Bulls trading their 16 and 19 pick. I'm not going to say he's a borderline all-star, but he's a pretty good player.
He's an outstanding player.
Zach LaVine, Gary Harris. There was the functional big that Denver got in at 16 in that draft, too. That was not Gar Foreman, John Paxson's best moment.
No, it was not. But Zach LaVine could be strong. He's going to wear number 8 for the Bulls. I say 8 on the Bulls. Who do you think of?
George Gervin.
The Iceman. Yeah, he was 44 with the Spurs. One of the great nicknames in all of pro sports. Of course,
Dickie Simpkins.
Yeah, Dickie Simpkins. I think Mickey Johnson from Aurora. Aurora.
331 texting in, God, I wish I was deaf. I think that was in reference to the song here.
Come on now. Come on.
It seems a little bit harsh, but perhaps worth mentioning that that was one reaction to the tune. Well, I think it was great.
Well, I think it was fun, and that's what we're about here. We're about having fun. And
why didn't you sing it?
Because I can't sing. Mac used to always want to sing the songs. Mac's got a little bit of a frustrated rock star. Mac and I, I'm surprised we weren't better friends, because we oh, that's the warning. Okay, I can't talk about me and Mac. Mac and I love
you can talk all you want about Dan
Mac
McGill.
And I love talking about old jersey numbers. We both love the Rolling Stones so much. But he wanted to sing. He had a better voice than I did. I would only sing if I did a Bob Dylan song. Maybe Tom Petty, because he's got that nasality, that Jewish nasality thinking thing going on. But
Tom
Alexi,
Petty, yeah, go ahead.
Tom Petty's got a little nasal thing. Sure he does. Don't you think?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if Tom Petty had some form of Jewish heritage that I didn't know about.
I don't know. We'll have to find out. He was blonde and thin, so I'm saying no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Unless he was a second wife.
But you never know.
Right. Speaking of Aurora, where Mickey Johnson played, my friend Leslie went there. Shout out, Leslie and Eric.
Congratulations, Leslie and Eric. Harry, we're still waiting for you to come up with the Joe Madden Chicago Cubs World Series parody song from the 708.
When are you I love Joe Madden.
When are you going to get that done?
We'll get it. I'm working on a Steve Cishek song.
Okay, there you go. Good. Nice, solid reliever.
Patrick Laine into the right wing circle. Turning away to the corner with the puck. Fed the deep slot. Wheeler fires. Glass makes the save. He's got Bufflin, who's pushed down right on top of him and down to the ice by Brent Seabrook. And the linesman will intervene. Talk about some tough saves. That might have been the toughest one of the night for Jeff Glass. He had Big Buff standing in his kitchen there. Here's Fenton over Laine. A shot. Big save by Jeff Glass. He did the splits of the goal crease to knock it wide.
Thirty-one big saves. Blackhawks have won three of their last four. Beat the Winnipeg Jets last night, 2-1. Harry,
he was phenomenal last night. I mean, he made some impossible saves. He was terrific. And Forsberg played very well the other night when he was between the pipes. We need Crawford back. There's no mistaking it, okay? Crawford, if he were healthy, would be going to the All-Star game with Kane. Kaner's the only Hawk going. But Jeff Glass remains the story of the year in the National Hockey League. A 32-year-old lifetime minor leaguer is now starting in goal for one of the original six teams.
Rudy.
It's really easy to cheer for him. And again, he was phenomenal. He makes great second saves. A lot of times you see a goalie make a great save, and then the puck will pounce out to someone, and you know, guys will say, well, he should have controlled the rebound. But Jeff Glass has been playing terrific. There's a lot of reasons to go to a Hawks game, and I'd like to point out to all the Hawks fans tomorrow, the game was switched for national television. It was supposed to be a 6 o'clock start. It's an 11:30 start. That means Chris Bowden has your pregame at 11, and then John Weideman, Troy Murray, 11:30, the Blackhawks and the Red Wings. And if you live in Detroit and you didn't come to Chicago this weekend, what kind of sports fan are you?
Right.
Right?
Very, very good point.
One night in a hotel?
Come on.
Cheap airfare from Detroit to Chicago round trip? You telling me we wouldn't have done this trip if it were reversed?
Right. Did you ever go up to Detroit to see the Hawks play?
No, I regret it. I wish I did. I went to Philly to see the Hawks play.
When they won the cup?
It's funny. I didn't even think of that. Yes, I was there when they won the cup. Not the night they won the cup, but I was at a game they lost, the first road game, and a guy almost hit me. But thank God I was with some SWAT guys from Canada in the bar.
I saw the Blackhawks on the road play the Hartford Whalers.
I saw them play the Hartford Whalers. They lost 3-0 when I saw them.
I don't remember the score. I remember being a freshman at the University of Hartford.
People tell me, you and Vin Baker, right?
Me and Vin Baker, right. I was the University of Hartford called me up before.
What's their mascot?
Hartford Hawks.
I don't know that off the top of my head.
And neither does anyone else.
Now, people don't believe me when I tell them where Hartford Whalers played their game.
In the Hartford Civic Center, baby.
And like, where was the Hartford Civic Center located?
In Hartford, Connecticut.
And what happened to the Hartford Civic Center?
It keeps getting better all the time.
I was uncomfortable when we first started talking about. I shouldn't have brought this up. What happened to the Hartford Civic Center, Jennings?
Oh, just asking if you knew.
Oh, come on! You can't do that. You got to tell us what it is. What's the story up there? senior newsman who knows everything?
A political announcement was made.
Oh.
No.
Damn.
The roof collapsed.
Oh. When I was there, it was the Jeremy Roenick Blackhawks. That was it was a wonderful time.
I'm talking about that the Hartford Whalers played their home games in a mall.
Yeah, it was.
People don't believe me that it was in a mall.
It was. It was an awful venue. Absolutely terrible.
You would walk through the mall. There'd be like a food court. There'd be a Cutlery World. There'd be like, you know, the Gap. And then there's the Hartford Whalers.
Right. And the Boston Celtics used to play games there, too.
I will say this, though. One of the great logo designs in the history of professional sports.
It's a solid logo.
And who are the Hartford Whalers today?
I love you, Jennings. They are the Carolina Hurricanes.
Look at that. Nothing gets by Harry.
Hey, who are the Kansas City Scouts today?
The Oakland A's.
Who the hell were the Kansas City Scouts?
They were a one-season hockey team in Kansas City, Missouri.
The Kansas City A's were the Oakland A's. How's that? Mm-hmm. Kansas City Scouts?
Yep. I would say let's give a prize to the first caller. It's probably whoever can Google the quickest.
I'm going to guess that nobody knows the answer, but if you'd like to, how about the Colorado Avalanche?
Who were the Colorado Avalanche, or is that who you're guessing?
That's my guess. It's a terrible guess.
And it's not a terrible guess at all, because Kansas City went to Colorado, and then they went to New Jersey.
I knew it.
Why didn't you say it then?
I wasn't confident enough.
You got to be confident, Dan.
Dan, are you an analyzer? Do you have to get things right before speaking?
Oh, yeah.
The Kansas City Scouts, who had a pretty cool logo themselves of a Native American on a horse, they went to Colorado, then they went to New Jersey. They became the New Jersey Devils.
Can we more Hartford Hawk, Kansas City Scout radio coming up here? It's definitely wowing the masses. Can I ask you a question here, Harry? Because it was a big week for the Hawks, by the way. Brent Seabrook got benched.
Can you imagine a healthy scratch?
A healthy scratch. Richard Panik is traded to Arizona for Anthony Duclair.
Anthony Duclair is 22 years old. He can fly around the ice. He's been number 10 his whole career. He's wearing 91 because Patrick Sharp is number 10. So look for this guy, man. Fans of the Hawks.
Andy Dufresne.
Watch. Yeah. Andy Dufresne is on the Hawks.
I thought he was in Zihuataneo, but he's on. They went Panic for Dufresne.
He got an assist last night. He'd help her.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Duclair trade. They get a lot of money back, too, in the cap space.
You remember when Dufresne was able to.
Don't spoil.
Remember don't spoil Shawshank Redemption.
I know, it's 25 years old, but it's such a masterpiece. What if somebody has never seen it?
Okay, I don't want to.
Shame on them. No, go ahead and spoil it.
I don't want to give away the roof.
Go ahead and spoil it.
I was going to go with the roof scene.
Roof scene is great.
Great roof scene. What if
the opera scene is great?
What happens if Dufresne didn't realize that they could benefit with some suds? I that would have been a whole thing there, Harry.
Do you know that that's not...
Dufresne is Duclair.
You know that that's not the best prison movie ever.
Best... what are you going to go with?
Jennings, you know what I'm going to say, right?
Best prison movie ever?
Yeah, probably the greatest actor portrayal in the history of film.
Clint Eastwood?
Paul Newman.
Cool Hand Luke?
Cool Hand Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He was handsome, but he was an actor. Some guys are movie stars. Paul Newman was an actor who happened to be a movie star.
Anybody out there have seen Cool Hand Luke? Love to hear from you.
You've never seen it?
Cool Hand Luke?
Yeah.
It's one of my top 10 favorite movies.
Yes!
That I've never seen. But I've heard about...
Come on! How can you be so uncool at movies? You've never seen a James Bond movie.
That's not true. That's
not
true.
You're a cool guy, but you with movies, you...
Hold on. Hold on a second. You need to back off. I've seen a ton of old films.
Have you seen a James Bond movie?
Octopussy, yes. What's the one where he's
Octopussy?
What's the one with the teeth? The Goldfinger.
The Jaws, you mean?
No.
Moonraker.
Oh, Moonraker.
Moonraker, Goldfinger.
The very, very, very big guy with all that's Moonraker. That was...
He's in a couple of them.
In Goldfinger.
No, that's not
Goldfinger. No, he's not in Goldfinger.
He's not in Goldfinger.
That's Oddjob is in Goldfinger.
Yeah, Oddjob has the hat with
Oddjob, I thought you always took your hat off to a lady.
Well, it's all the same.
It's not all the same, Jimmy. Dave Jennings, have you ever seen a James Bond movie?
I think I have seen all of them.
Right.
With the exception of On Her Majesty's Secret Service, because I just... don't want to see George Lazenby.
You know
I love What's her name from the Avengers?
Diana Rigg,
but I just don't want to see the movie because I've heard too many bad reviews of it.
You know what? George Lazenby is not the worst Bond. George Lazenby is actually pretty good in that movie, okay?
Who is your worst Bond?
Well, I think I would go with...
Roger Moore?
No, he's the second best Bond.
Okay.
Timothy Dalton? Thank you, Timothy Dalton. I like Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan was let go too soon.
Agreed. Pierce Brosnan, Remington Steel producers, he should have been in more James Bond movies.
I know.
Listen, if you're under the age of 60, I know it's hard to follow going on right now.
20-year-olds love James Bond.
Adele sung the theme for...
Millennials. Okay. Anybody out there that's seen James Bond movies, can you please educate my dear friend Mark Carman how cool Bond movies are?
312-981-7200. Do you need to be in your 70s to appreciate Bond?
Oh, good Lord. You want me to come down there and smack you?
Jennings. This is a work environment.
Look, you know what?
Harry, he's bringing out my inner Jewish man, okay?
I mean, you know why Jennings has seen almost every Bond movie? Because he's from America. What is wrong with you, Carm? How do you not see a James Bond movie?
I mean, how many times are they on either USA or Sci-Fi Channel in marathons for the holidays?
Yeah,
come on.
Or the BBC network.
Do you understand how many viewing options are out there?
James Bond is so cool.
Toys alone,
Austin Powers is his salute to the greatness of James Bond.
Is Bond cool? 312-981.
Are you really asking that?
Yes, I am. It's so like.
Are you telling me that you've spent more time in your life with a bonding agent than James Bond, the secret agent?
I just. Harry, I love you.
Thank God you're here, Dave.
That's good.
Let's see here. Andy, welcome to 720 WGN as the show's gone off the rails, which is fine. What's up, Andy?
Hey, you were talking about Cohen Luke.
Yeah.
Harry, he is a total Christ figure.
Yes, there's a huge Christ thing going on in Cool Hand Luke.
About 10 different examples of it.
Yeah, when he's done eating the eggs.
Andy.
Yeah, that's one. Yes, sir.
Is Bond cool or is Bond not cool?
Bond is cool.
Still
cool. And what's his name? Austin Powers is In Like Flint. That's his homage to James Coburn and In Like Flint.
He also talks, come on, the hair on the chest is Sean Connery.
Yeah, but you listen to his phone when it goes off. That is from In Like Flint.
Right. But I'm saying it's an homage. It's his love of James Bond movies that created Austin Powers.
Well, that, and I think it's a lot of those spy thriller movies.
Right. Yeah, In Like Flint and Our Man Flint are two movies James Coburn made to try to capitalize on the success of the great James Bond.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you. Hey, Joe, you don't watch James Bond films anymore, do you, Joe?
I only like the original James Bond films or based on the original Ian Fleming novels. James Bond was serious. Once he died, he said, given up.
Not a great connection there, Joe. Apologize. I think he said James Bond is terrible and he would never watch any of those movies.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Carl, what's up, man?
Well, first of all, I think Joe was loaded. In all honesty. James Bond, very cool. Now, do you guys know who Honor Blackman is?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
There we go right there, then.
The great Honor Blackman validates this point?
She portrayed the female lead in Goldfinger, and one of the things James Bond is known for are the beautiful women and their provocative names.
Why don't you start a Bond podcast? James Bond, every day. Hosted by Harry. Carl, would you listen to Harry doing a podcast on Bond?
Absolutely, but I'd like to have Harry say Honor Blackman's name in the movie, though.
The character's name was Pussy Galore.
There you go. And what, when Sean Connery first heard her name, what did he utter?
I don't have it. Dave, do you have it?
No, I don't remember
that
either.
Let's be careful. Hands on dumb buttons.
No. Can I do it? No problem. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I must be dreaming.
Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it.
Adios.
See you, brother. Hey, Bill. Is James Bond cool?
Hey. Yeah. Greetings.
Greetings,
Bill.
Greetings, Bill.
I'm only 58. I've been, my father took me to see Goldfinger when I was, whatever it was, I've been 5 years old or whatever the age was, right?
Uh-huh.
And I've been watching Bond ever since, and I agree with the previous person, Lazenby. I've never made myself watch the Majesty's Secret Service. I'm sure it was a good flick, but I just couldn't do it.
All right, Bill, appreciate you. Thank you very much for calling.
He's so cool. Jennings points out the gadget.
He's in my demo. He's in the demo.
I'm starting to hear the tone of resignation coming from Carmen.
Listen, hey, I appreciate what you love. I appreciate what I love. Whatever gets you going in life. But, you know, there's certain things that should be discussed and certain things that perhaps should be tabled for another time.
Okay, well, hold on. Okay, now there's how many...
I don't even mean it like that. We could talk James Bond all night if you want.
There's how many Bourne movies?
Four?
Okay, there's four Bourne movies. And I kind of think that what's happened now under Daniel Craig is James Bond has become Bourne. He no longer has the gadgets. He no longer has the... okay.
Would you rather watch Bourne or Bond? Now, that's
Bond.
Bourne.
That's not even a question.
Bourne or Bond?
That's not even a question. Hey, David.
Bourne.
Let's start listing reasons why Bond movies are cool. You said the gadgets. I love his funny lines. When he's about to die and he gets out of it, he's always got like some great witty repartee.
Unfortunately, we do have to take a quick time out here, and it's unfortunate, but we do got to pay the bills here.
Mm-hmm. We do. Okay. We still have a tribute to we lost one of the greats today. And then Carm wants...
Oh, Nelly.
Right.
And we'll have...
Now we don't have to do it. We just had Keith Jackson.
After the 6:30 news, we're going to talk about a holiday coming up here that needs to be honored properly. 720 WGN. A lot of Bond support on the text line here for you, Harry. Let's see here. I'm 42. Bond movies are cool. 224. What's wrong with you, Carm? 630, my 8-year-old son and 13-year-old daughter love James Bond, including the old ones.
Yeah, you know, a lot of women love James Bond, but James Bond is cool.
Xenia on a top.
773, yep.
That's all I'm going to say.
Dr. Holly, yes.
Yep, Karma's wrong. Bond is cool. I'm 34 and I'm a Bond fanatic from the 847.
The start of The Spy Who Loved Me. When he's being chased on skis and he's going off a cliff and he's facing certain death. And then what he does, I mean, that is just so damn cool.
773, I'm a 42-year-old woman. Bond is both cool and sexy. Anyone who says differently is insane.
Right, the first Bond movie, Dr. No, he's about to get shot while he's on the dance floor. He turns, the woman he's dancing with is a double agent, she doesn't know that Bond knows, and the girl gets stabbed in the back instead of Bond. And he passes her off to another guy and he goes, yeah, she's just dying to dance with you.
406, James Bond may be British, but the movies are American icons.
Yeah, well said. Who said that? What area code?
815, Mark spends all his time with a stuffed duck. That says it all.
If it were James Bond, the stuffed duck would have like a machine gun in it.
Lots of Bond love here. All right. James Bond's the greatest. Mark Harmon is the worst.
No, you're not,
That was the lesson that we all learned.
Don't Stuart Small yourself.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And
I've invited you and Chelsea to come over to my house and watch a Bond movie.
Yeah, we've declined.
Why? Because I'm Jewish?
What is that? What?
Why aren't you coming over to watch a James Bond movie with her? It's a fun night. See for yourself. Dave, how can he judge Bond without ever having seen
I've
one?
I've seen James Bond. I watched that. What was that ridiculous new one where it was, you know, he's flying through the air on some train or whatever?
Are you talking Daniel Craig?
Yeah,
that's not James Bond.
Okay. All right. Let's do a... I appreciate the offer. I will discuss it with Chelsea.
I want you to come over and watch either Goldfinger or we'll watch like you only... you know what we should watch? The Live and Let Die. That's a great one.
Will you make lasagna?
I could make lasagna.
Harry, who is your number one James Bond?
It's Sean Connery, and then it's Roger Moore, and then there's a huge drop-off.
Okay. Right.
To the 6:30 final half hour we go. Amy Guth coming up at 7. 720 WGN. Seven 720 WGN, 6:35. Hope you're having a great Saturday. Always great to be with you, Harry Tynowitz.
It is so much fun to be with you, Carm. I enjoy, you know, I got to be with Wendy Snyder on Wednesday. Bill Leff came back on Friday, but I got to be with Wendy on Wednesday, and she raved about you. She says that not only are you great on the radio, but you're very attractive, and she thinks Andy Samberg looks like you. She didn't say you look like Andy Samberg. She said, Andy Samberg looks like you, and it's great being on the show with Wendy.
I always pay Wendy well when I get to fill in and do sports for Dave Mannon on the Steve Cochran Show. I give her at least $20 on the way out the door just to ensure that she'll say nice things. Don't tell anybody that I do that.
I shall not. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun coming here on Saturdays. We'll be back next Saturday. And a reminder for Hawks fans, the game has been moved tomorrow. It's a morning start, 11 a.m. Chris Bowden's got the pregame, 11:30, the Hawks and the Red Wings from the United Center.
That is outstanding. All right, so I want to give a tribute or just talk for a second here about my favorite holiday, which is coming up on Monday. Martin Luther King Jr., Harry, would be 89 years old if he was still alive today. So he was killed when he was 39. We've been robbed of 5 decades of one of the greatest Americans, one of the greatest people that have ever graced the earth, really. And it's cool that the NBA plays a full schedule on the day, and you look back at like Martin Luther King Jr. with his relation to sports. He was, him and Jackie Robinson, who of course broke the color barrier in baseball, had a close relationship. Bill Russell was at the Eye of a Dream speech. They asked him to come on stage, and Russell's like, you guys have put so much work into all of this. If you don't mind, I'd like to sit in the front row, but I don't feel it would be appropriate for me to be up there with you considering the amount that you've done. I don't want to pose as somebody who's as involved as you guys. Muhammad Ali, you know, I don't know how much you remember about that relationship, and you would know at least a little bit better than I do. But Ali was, they were on opposite sides. Ali, you know, was at that time was the Nation of Islam, and Muhammad was Martin Luther was all about nonviolent resistance. So there was a, where they weren't necessarily aligned, but he supported him incredibly well. And just reading about it, all of it is just beautiful to me looking back on it. And a guy, and you read his speech. Like, I listen to the speech, but when I read the speech, I almost feel it more just looking at how it was written down. It's so incredibly beautiful.
You know, he had one of the most impactful lives in the history of the world. I mean, he helped so many people. People today are still helped by what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. And, you know, Oprah, with her great speech Sunday at the Golden Globes, referenced this woman who was, you know, attacked and gang raped coming out of church. And the people were never, you know, tried who did this to her. And that is the type of world that Dr. Martin Luther King was facing. And he just, I mean, he had such courage and just kept coming back and kept coming back. And you're right, nonviolence, you know.
But there is something I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining a rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. I mean, how beautiful is that?
It's awesome.
It's... And he goes, continues on, we cannot turn back and all this. It's just, it's really, really incredible. And yes, you don't get to eat, turkey. There's no mashed potatoes.
Right. No candy.
And I love a Thanksgiving. You don't get any gifts on, you know, it's not Christmas Day. It's not Hanukkah. There's no fireworks in the sky. There's no 4th of July. It's not even a particularly warm day. It's the middle of January.
No green bear.
Right. And most people are still working. It was signed into law in 1983 by Ronald Reagan. It was officially actually observed for the first time in 86, and all 50 states observed it in 2000. Think about that.
Yeah, how did it take so long?
Right? And so I'm actually not working on Monday, Harry. Going to take the old, and I maybe I'll go over to the United Center and see the Bulls in the Heat. But I just think it's just a very cool day that doesn't get a ton of attention. I mean, you always hear the speech.
Right, and the NBA always plays a game in Memphis.
Right, they play in, exactly, and they start playing games at 11:30 Central Time, and they go all day. So it's really a beautiful holiday, and I'm just hope that we take a little nice time to feel it on Monday. And Dave Plyer, by the way, is going to have the Reverend Jesse Jackson on tonight talk about the holiday, and you know a lot of people have differing opinions on Jesse, but he was there back in the day. So that is an incredibly relevant person to have on this evening. And Dave always does a great job having on big time guests on his show, even though he's on in the overnight. It's impressive what he does, and that's awesome.
Yeah, if he didn't have Bill Wennington,
that's true. He did not have Bill Wennington.
Bill Wennington was so spectacular.
I loved Bill Wennington. So all right, as we take a quick time out and get you ready for Amy Guth, and also Guth, a tribute to a tremendous broadcast, we'll play a little bit of a little MLK for you.
I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Stewart with time. Let's it go. He's got three people down there. The ball's up in the air. Caught. Touchdown. Caught by Westbrook for a touchdown. Incredible.
Great Keith Jackson. One of college football's greatest announcers passing away, RIP. Such a significant voice, signature voice on a Saturday afternoon. Oh,
he always had the biggest game. The biggest game was Keith Jackson's game, and everybody from, you know, I would say everybody from about, 35 to 85 does a semi-good Keith Jackson impersonation.
He's right there. Keith Jackson to me is right there with Pat Summerall. It's that genre.
And I think he's bigger. You know, Summerall was one of the NFL announcers. Not to belittle Pat Summerall, but Keith Jackson was the voice of college football.
Yeah, that's true. I just, you know, for me growing up, Sundays were bigger than Saturdays, and it was the Mike Ditka show at 11, the NFL Today with Brent Musburger and Irv Cross and Jimmy the Greek and at 11:30, and then it was the Bears at noon, and then it was Summerall and Madden at 3.
But I think that's more reason why Keith Jackson was so great, because he was, think of all the great Heisman Trophy winners, Tony Dorsett and Herschel Walker. You know, it was Marcus Allen. It was Keith Jackson who was calling their games. Keith Jackson called the Rose Bowl. Keith Jackson, Joe Paterno would, you know, before we found out about Paterno, Joe Paterno, you know, would stop and answer Keith Jackson's question when he wouldn't answer anybody else's.
No doubt. Maybe nationally, Keith is bigger. Regardless, he was phenomenal.
The year Northwestern finally went to the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay? There was a game where Dave Bennett was in the radio booth. Keith Jackson was on TV. And they were hosting Penn State, and in the fourth quarter, Keith Jackson just out of the blue started talking about how, like, Northwestern's filled with no-names. Penn State's got all these great, you know, highly recruited players, and Keith Jackson starts, you know, telling you what their names are. Yeah, their names are Fitzgerald and Hartle. He's just rattling off these names. He was so taken by the moment, and it was such a big deal that Keith Jackson was in Evanston to call Northwestern. So he's going to be missed. And he also was the first Monday Night Football announcer the first season. And he also did baseball, including one of the. If you're a Red Sox fan, you're not gonna love this. But this is Keith Jackson behind the mic for the play-in game in 1978 at Fenway.
Hit high in the air to left field, going to the corner, Yastrzemski. It's over the wall. It's a home run for Bucky Dent. Yankees get the lead 3-2, and it just cleared the upstairs. Just cleared the top of the wall in left.
I forgot that he did baseball. I'd be honest. That's awesome.
Didn't he do everything?
He did do everything. I'm pretty sure he was an Olympic. He did some Olympics
along the way.
Yeah. I do seem to remember the Olympics. That I did not know that he called Bucky Dent.
Oh yeah, people in Boston still refer to him as Bucky F. Dent, but they extend the initial.
Yes, they do. Just back to MLK real fast. If people want to call in and share memories on Martin Luther King, and we only have about 5-10 minutes here, but I'd love to hear. It's a lot of people texting in on us bringing up MLK Day on Monday. And Mary, we really appreciate your text as always. She writes, "Hi guys, doesn't surprise me that Mark took some time, Harry too, by the way, to acknowledge MLK Day. But I think it's extraordinary that you would do that during your show. And I'm so, you get all these texts coming in here. Anyway, she was very appreciative. A lot of people saying thank you for bringing up Martin Luther King. For people who remember the era, I mean, David Jennings, I know that it's resonating with you in news, and him being honored on Monday. And 89 years old he'd be, David Jennings. That's, think about what he would have done in 50 years. Like, how much more he could have contributed. And
do you remember, and I think it was, might have been Cartoon Network or Adult Swim or something, but somebody did a cartoon series, If King Came Back.
Oh, cool.
And what he would have to say about where things are now.
See, and I think he would be very happy about a lot.
I think he would be madder than a wet hen.
Well, and then there'd be that side, too. And 312-981-7200. I don't necessarily want to talk about in a whole societal thing, but more just if you want to remember him in a way that would be awesome.
I just want to enjoy my new favorite expression, madder than a wet hen.
That was that's something I've never heard before.
That's not new; it's old.
I've never heard that before.
It's right there with the Bond lovers. That's what they say.
Oh, don't start, Carm. You did such a sincere Martin Luther King. You know, Dave, Carm and I talk during the week with Dan Long, our executive producer, and I'm like, hey, we got to talk about Zach LaVine. You know, you're Mr. Bull, but I'm fired up for LaVine tonight, and we haven't been on the air since Nagy was named, and we got to talk about Cubs convention and the Duclair trade for the Hawks and let people know the game is at 11:30 tomorrow morning. He's like, I want to do something for Martin Luther King Day. That was his first thought this week was MLK tribute.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. I'll have a video that I did over at FanSided that I'll post on Monday as well. That I wrote it out, first was kind of just going through the history of it and just learning as I was going mm-hmm. along, some stuff that I didn't know. And then I read it to the lovely Chelsea. What do you think of this? And she's like, why don't you just speak from the heart rather than give all the details? And I said, that's a great idea.
Sound advice.
It was some sound advice. So I just did.
It's a woman you might want to spend some time with in the future.
We're spending lots of time, Harry. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We're actually planning perhaps our next vacation, which you would be excited about.
Yeah? What stuffed animal are you going to bring home here?
You never know. I think we're going to go to tennis camp. Get the old hit the ball. Hit the ball around, Harry.
You're going
to
kill your relationship over tennis
Why
camp.
Would we kill our relationship? Why can't you go to tennis? Why can't you go? What
tennis kind of camp?
Yes.
Why would you punish her? What did she do?
She loves it. She loves to hit the tennis ball. Why do you think this relationship
Just
works?
Just because she loves to hit the tennis ball doesn't mean she wants you to take her to tennis camp.
I wouldn't go if she didn't want to go, Jennings. I'm not that big of an idiot.
Okay. Really, this is for women out there. Your boyfriend, your husband says, "Hey, I'll take you anywhere you want to go on vacation." How many of you guys say tennis camp?
Well, that wasn't I didn't give that as the option. The first vacation that we took
mm-hmm. was cool.
Wasn't a standard, nice. Wintery
Mexico,
right?
That's awesome.
Now it's time to have a more active, enthusiastic, growthful tennis camp experience. Harry.
Relationship ending.
Okay. Again, we wouldn't go if she didn't want to go. I do push a little bit. It'll be great. You'll love it. But now she wants to go.
When are Jennings and I going to get an invitation in the post?
Why do you got to rush things? Why do you got to
rush things?
Yes.
What are you, 25 today?
Why?
You'd be a great dad, Carm.
Why box?
You'd be a great dad.
Why box people in by age, Harry? Why do you got to? How old was Clooney? He's 56.
I understand Clooney's 56.
We haven't even dated a year, man. You need to slow your roll. I know you have your concerns about me, but there's no reason for that.
Her best, you know, as bright as she is, as funny as she is, as attractive as she is, her best quality is how much she cares about you.
That's not her best quality, but that's a nice quality.
What would you say is her best quality?
I just think...
Answer carefully.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to... How did we get on this topic? I mentioned 10... How did we get here? How did that happen? Can we talk about something else? She's got many amazing qualities. Caring about people, myself included, is certainly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
She even cares about you, Harry. She wants to call you all the time. Let's call Harry. I'm like, no. Last thing we need to do is call Harry right now.
Really?
Why do we got to call Harry?
Well, I mean,
she wants to call you at like 11 at night. Harry's sleeping.
Harry doesn't sleep.
It's 8 a.m. Let's call Harry.
Harry's up at 8.
You want us to call you at 8 a.m.? We call you all the time. It's like once a week.
She calls me.
Yeah, well, I call you.
I probably do more show prep with her.
That's not true.
Uh-huh.
That is not true.
Uh-huh. My brother Danny was very close with a couple of different girls in his life, and he got some bad advice, and he didn't go with them.
Right, you think so I'm going to be Danny.
You'd be lucky to be Danny.
That's exactly right.
My only point is that for whatever reason, you know, I used to be the same way. I would, like, it's got to be like a Hollywood movie. I've got to like feel like, you know, rockets going off, and then I got to hear an orchestra. And, you know, the sky has to supernova. I'm just saying, Carm, that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's been less than a year.
Okay. I'm going to have to keep you. I got to put up some barriers here. We're too enmeshed here. 630 is texting and she lied to you. No woman likes to go to tennis camp. That's funny.
I guess that's Dave's point.
That is funny. Not true, but very funny. All right, let's make predictions here before we get out. Amy Guth coming right up here. We got 3 minutes. How many points for Zach LaVine in his debut, Harry? You've been fired up about this all week.
Well, he's only going to play 20 minutes. So
right.
I'm saying he's going to get 11 points and 2 assists and 2 rebounds.
That sounds about right. Do you remember how many points Jordan had in his debut?
I was there.
Yeah,
Friday night against the Washington Bullets, but I have no idea.
You had 16 on 5 of 16 shooting.
That's awesome.
How were you there and don't know that, whereas I was 11? 10. I was 10.
Oh, you probably just answered your question.
Yeah, no, I know. I get it.
Uh-huh.
5 of 16. I think it was his ninth game against San Antonio. He had 45.
That was awesome, Carm.
Yeah.
We should ask Wellington more Jordan questions.
I mean...
Were you at the practice when he punched Steve Kerr in the face?
Can I tell you a great Mike practice story before we get out of here?
Well, I wish you would.
There's so many good ones. But as I was talking with Wennington, how we used to play at the multiplex. So they would come into the studio. They would come onto the court to practice. And sometimes before, like, it would be open and we'd be hooping. And so I drove down the lane.
It's my favorite Bob Marley album, by the way. We'd Be Hooping.
We Be Hooping, right. I drove down the lane, hung in the air, Amy Guth, with the tongue out, and
Eric Carmen.
And got fouled, and it rolled around the rim and came off as Mike was walking into the gym, and I turned and looked, and he looked back, and he gave the ooh, and he turned and went into the locker room. He oohed one of my shots, Harry. That happened.
You sure he wasn't saying Jew?
Good That's, Lord.
Right?
What? What? What?
Don't encourage. Like, we can say that to each other.
Right, I know.
But, like, don't encourage that. Like, if you're not in the tribe, you have to put the ish at the end.
It's fun, Guth. It's all in fun.
I'm sorry. Harry, you haven't appropriately greeted me yet.
Guth!
Thank you.